Lecture 4, From the Vedic Tradition to Classical Hinduism.
The Aryans, like most religious people throughout the world, even today, considered ritual much more important than doctrine and belief. The Veda itself was a manual of ritual, not of creedal statements or theology. To complete our understanding of the Vedic tradition, it's important that we spend some time investigating ritual practices. We'll examine the kinds of rituals the Aryans practiced, the purposes for which they were intended, and the persons who performed them. After exploring the nature of Vedic rituals, we will discuss how certain spiritual and philosophical changes in India ushered in a widespread reevaluation of these rituals and spurred the development of the classical period in Hinduism. We will begin to discuss how the classical period brought forth new problems for the Indian religions that demanded new solutions. In our last lecture, we examined three dimensions of the Veda: its conception of and assumptions about the world, divinity, and humanity. What brings these three dimensions together is the practice of ritual. Again, to impose order on material that is actually quite unsystematic, I'd like to develop a typology for discussing the kinds of rituals the Aryans conducted. In a time-honored theological tradition, I shall use the number three and discuss three basic kinds of rituals. As with any typology, of course, this is an idealized explanation. In practice, Aryan ritual was undoubtedly more complex. I'll talk first about rituals of the home conducted at the hearth, and then shamanic rituals for healing and life transitions, and finally, Shrouta rites, which were conducted on special occasions. We actually know very little about the home rituals. The Veda itself was more concerned with other types of ceremonies. Home rituals were probably simple sacrifices at the domestic fires where the father served as priest by offering food to a few of the devas in the morning and evening. Their purpose was to honor the gods, to acknowledge one's dependence on them, and perhaps even to ensure that the gods would continue to be generous. Today, still, the home is the focus of devotion in Hinduism. Virtually every Hindu abode has some shrine space, whether small or large, dedicated to a god or a goddess. A ritual specialist called an Atharvan performed the shamanic rituals. Aryan families called upon this priest to provide help during times of crisis, such as sickness, times of transition, such as birth, naming, initiation, or death, or on auspicious days, such as the new moon or harvest time. The name shaman is a term used cross-culturally to refer to those persons who have a special access to the spirit world and are able to use that connection for the benefit of others. In some African traditions, a shaman might be called a witch doctor. In some Native American traditions, a medicine man or medicine woman. As these names suggest, one of the principal functions of the shaman is healing the sick. Like shamans in other cultures, the Atharvan priest cured with rites involving incantation, herbs, and fire. But the Atharvan could do more than just heal. He provided protection from demons and snakes, promoted good luck in gambling, and could cause misfortune for one's enemies. The Atharva Veda is the text that contained the mantras that were used to effect these desired things. A passage from the Atharva Veda provides a rather amusing instance of a curse for destroying a man's virility.